This is Jazz Discoveries. I'm your host, Robert Bullington. In this edition, we're listening to a live recording of a performance by the College of New Jersey Jazz Ensemble from the 1867 Sanctuary in Ewing, New Jersey, on December 5th, 2018. When we were preparing for this performance, the ensemble's director, Dr. Gary Feinberg, described the tragic and completely unexpected loss of one of their members. During the interview for the program, Gary told me more about what had happened and why this performance and recording it for all of you was so important to them.
Just to put some context, this concert with Michael Ray was done in collaboration with a project here at the college called Trenton Makes Music. It's an effort to kind of capture some of the important people and some of the important musical innovations or creations that came out of Trenton. And Michael Ray is a Trenton native. He and his wife, Lorana Phipps Ray, joined us for this concert. And it was a different concert for the jazz ensemble, because Michael Ray, coming from Sun Ra and his orchestra, comes from a very different kind of music tradition. And so the entire experience was really different for us. And at first, it was tentative, but by the time we got tentative for us, because this is a new mode of learning for our students and a new mode of performing. But when we got to the concert, it was one of the most exciting concerts that the students I've ever, done with the students. Everybody was just on cloud nine. So one of the students who was especially moved in this concert was the baritone saxophonist, Jason Zajkowski. And that evening, he played, in many respects, he was the featured student performer and played several solos that were just absolutely, as we say, on fire. And after the concert, I spoke with Jason just immediately after the concert, and he expressed to me how thrilled he was, and that was one of the musical high points of his life, which certainly was easy to witness. And then a few minutes later, Jason collapsed, a victim of a recently diagnosed heart problem.
Oh, wow.
And he collapsed and lost consciousness and never regained consciousness after that. And for the students, this was just, especially the students who were still on hand following the concert, this was an incredible, devastating experience to be on the stage and to be being together in this joyous, incredible, creative moment. Jason certainly being at the very center of that. And then only a few minutes after the concert was over to be a witness to his passing, essentially. Students were very shook up, as you can imagine. And just the juxtaposition of the circumstances was really overwhelming for us all.
Well, we mourn that loss with you. And with your permission, I'd like for us to dedicate this show to Jason's memory and to your community, to your students.
Well, that was certainly my hope that we would do that. So that's a great gesture, a fitting gesture for Jason. The music department is planning on having an event specifically for that reason later in the spring. But I felt it was important that the jazz band do this concert at the sanctuary, which was about a month afterwards. I felt it was important that we went through with it, even despite of everything that happened, because you have to pick up the pieces and move on. And Jason certainly would have wanted that to happen.
Well, your group certainly delivered in that aspect, and we're just so happy that something positive like this could follow. And but thank you for sharing that for our listeners.
Well, Jason actually left us all with a very positive image. I mean, in his short time that he was a student here, he really made a big impression. I tell people all the time that Jason was not somebody who, tried to draw attention to himself, but he was somebody that was always at the center, because he just had good, he had a good vibration.
This is just such a diverse concert. You covered so many different aspects of big band jazz. And the next number that you guys presented was the Brecker Brothers' Some Skunk Funk. What can we say about that?
Well, this is the iconic arrangement by Randy Brecker of the Brecker Brothers, and it's really the high water mark of jazz rock fusion. I believe it was written in the mid-early 70s. The Brecker Brothers had formed a band of some of the top young players in New York, and they actually owned a club in the West Village. And eventually they formed the Brecker Brothers band, and the Brecker Brothers, Brandy trumpet and Michael, a saxophonist, are veterans of probably thousands of recordings as backing artists, both as soloists and kind of anonymous backing artists. But this is a tune that is very much associated with the Brecker Brothers band, and it does stretch the medium of big band playing, but actually this is a very fine arrangement. It works pretty well, and it pretty much follows the form of the original recording.
And anybody special featured in this?
Who did we feature on this? Our baritone saxophone player Dan Gallo was featured on it. This version of the on this night. Different people were featured on different nights.
Yeah. Okay. Great. All right, well, let's hear it. This is Randy Brecker's Some Skunk Funk, performed by the TCNJ Jazz Ensemble.
Thank you.
Okay, Gary. So next up on the performance, we had Always and Forever. This is a Pat Metheny tune arranged by Bob Curnow. You know, the first time I've heard it played, and as I was listening to you guys play it, I was thinking, wow, this sounds a lot in common with Skylark. Like, maybe is it the opening chords or the opening sequence? Or?
I think it's the opening phrase, not having the chords right in front of me. But it wouldn't surprise me if, in some respect, that Pat Metheny had kind of modeled this on the tune Skylark.
Yeah, yeah, just lovely. And it's so nice to hear you guys, after all the upbeat, the cutting edge, the fusion rock stuff, just to play a straight-up ballad. It was really gorgeous.
Well, it's a great arrangement. I mean, Pat Metheny writes music that's really very ethereal. Just it really kind of hits you in the soul.
Right.
And really the purpose of programming this tune was to feature our lead alto saxophone player, Nick Napier, who's a freshman. Not that that's important for the musical product, but this is really, really fine artist, you know, young artist. Who's really plays on an extraordinary level, and I thought this is a great opportunity to feature a great player.
Absolutely. It says a lot about the young people that you're forming here, and what a joy to hear him play. And again, you know, if you hadn't said anything, we wouldn't have necessarily assumed that this was a freshman this solo.
Yeah.
So this is wonderful. So let's share this with our listeners. This is Pat Metheny's Always and Forever, played by the TCNJ Jazz Ensemble.
Thank you.
talking about the versatility of the program that you guys presented, this next one is How Does Song Go? By Gordon Goodwin. And it's just such a cool little piece. And we should mention, you know, that the songo is a Cuban pop rhythm. And there's a little bit of playfulness in the way this was put together. Can you say something about that?
Well, it falls in line with Gordon Goodwin's musical sense of humor. So Gordon Goodwin runs his own big band in Los Angeles, and it's really made up of the top studio players, films and recording studio players in his band. And Gordon Goodwin writes very clever music, and he also very often has clever titles as well. That's kind of his trademark. And as you'll hear in this tune, there's many kind of different moods and angles. And for musicians, it's very challenging, music. Initially, it's written for the best possible band of individuals you could put together. But it's an interesting thing about the music of his band. It's very popular for high school players because it's really just interesting, clever music, and that really appeals to young players. Older players, not so much. there's too much changing of moods and too much borrowing from different sources, which I think is the point that Gordon Goodwin is kind of using. But for older players, it's like it's bending the rules a little bit too much for suspect purposes.
So is this about like the change in the attention span as one goes through life, perhaps?
I think so. Well, this, you know, younger people have, as time progresses and as music changes, popular music changes, younger people have a harder time connecting to traditional music. Right. It's one of the things we do in the jazz band is we try to connect different eras of music with the students so that they can appreciate they learn to appreciate the older music in its true context.
So one might even think that your motive in picking this was to give a bridge to the generation in your group.
Oh, this music,
to traditional music.
That's the irony. Even though older musicians kind of poo-poo this music, it is a bridge for younger musicians into the world of jazz.
All right, well, let's hear it. This is Gordon Goodwin's How Does Song Go, played by the TCNJ Jazz Ensemble. So I would imagine after, you know, hearing this program, a lot of people out there in our listening area are going to want to stay in touch, and we're going to hear more from your ensemble. Always what we're trying to do is get people inspired to come and hear the live music in person. So how do our listeners find out more about what the group's doing and stay in touch?
Well, the website is centerforthearts.tcnj.edu, and there not only will you find all the other events that are coming to the campus and using our facilities, but the varied offerings of the music department. In addition to the jazz band, we have a concert band, a symphonic wind ensemble, an orchestra. We have a lyric theater. We have two choirs, so there's and there are recitals and all kinds of things going on all the time. There's actually quite a bit going on at the college.
So if you live in the area and you're thinking you don't hear enough live music and you aren't coming to TCNJ, then you need to start coming to TCNJ.
And I'll add that the facilities are really great. It's a great place to come and see a live music concert.
Absolutely. You've got this wonderful sort of almost intimate facility, Mayo Hall, in your music building, and the beautiful historic Kendall Hall, that big auditorium. It's a really great place, very inviting campus, great places to come and hear live music.
Yeah, and the student groups are really, you'll be quite impressed, I think, when you hear the student groups live.
Absolutely. Are there also social media contacts? Like, is there a Facebook page or some other feed?
TCNJ Center for the Arts is on Facebook.
You could search for that on Facebook,
yes,
as well.
Yes.
So sometimes that might be a little bit more in the moment current. Yeah. Okay, so now in this part of the concert, this is your penultimate tune. This is Sunrise Enlightenment. And Sunrise, such an interesting musical figure. So many facets to all the works that came out of the Sun Ra Orchestra. And of course, there's your connection to Michael Ray as well. And I guess that had something to do with your picking it, right?
Exactly. So we featured this piece on our November 9th concert. And Michael had worked with the Barbary Coast Big Band previously, and it was actually Don Glasgow who transcribed this music and arranged it for a big band. And he graciously let us use it, so I'm giving him a little credit for that right here.
Right.
But it's really, it's one of Sun Ra's iconic tunes as well. It's also a tune which brings together many different feelings and ideas of jazz music, very much like the Gordon Goodwin song, but in a much more kind of traditionalist wave. It has different melodies that are reminiscent of different genres of jazz, and it all comes together kind of in a crazy, exuberant, shout section.
Yes, I remember that. I remember the point where three guys from the brass section come up to the front of the orchestra, grab one of the mics, and they've got a set of looked almost like some verses of poetry on their cell phones, and you hear that in the latter part of this tune.
It's a brilliant lyric, and actually we hadn't planned on doing it, but the final rehearsal before the concert, the guys just spontaneously started singing it. And they had fallen so in love with the lyric, and I thought, well, in the true tradition of our work with Michael Ray, he says, play what you don't know. So I thought, all right, we can have some fun with this. It's okay.
Yeah, well, that was a trademark of this concert, is the spontaneity of it. There was just like pure joy in the room, and the young people in your group. Did so many things just out of pure spontaneous joy, and it's a lot of fun. And I hope that we captured enough of that that our listeners now hearing it are going to get wrapped up in the same thing. Is this one of the ones that you fronted the band for as well? There were a couple where I saw you just sort of turned around in front of the band on the trumpet.
That's
yourself.
Right. Yeah, I played the trumpet line.
Yeah,
for this because I, too, am enamored of this piece. It's a great piece.
All right. Well, I hope you all get wrapped up in the joy of this as you hear it. This is Sun Ra's Enlightenment, played by the TCNJ Jazz Ensemble. This is Robert Bullington, host of Jazz Discoveries. In this edition, you've been listening to a live recording of the College of New Jersey Jazz Ensemble from a performance at the 1867 Sanctuary in Ewing, New Jersey, on December 5th, 2018. You just heard them perform Sun Ra's composition, Enlightenment. Before we move on, I'd like to share a live recording of Sun Ra and his orchestra. This is from the 1976 Montreux Jazz Festival. And this is L is the Sound of Joy. A big thank you to Sue and John Shrambanis, owners of the Record Collector in Bordentown, New Jersey, for loaning the albums for this track and the Thelonious Monk track we heard earlier in the show.
Thank you.
Folks, we're coming to the end of this wonderful conversation with Gary Feinberg of the TCNJ Music Department and the leader of the TCNJ Jazz Ensemble. Gary, thank you so much for sharing this chat with me, for sharing your group with us, and having this recording. It turns out that we're ending with an opener, aren't we?
Yes, indeed.
this is Cool and the Gang's Open Sesame. Again, you know, this is just one of those great, great spontaneous performances. One of the trumpeters was giving the Open Sesame announcement from his mic, and then there was a spontaneous shout out for the drummer at the end of the show. The whole thing was beautiful. anything else you want to say about Open Sesame?
Well, it is a little bit outside of the normal, you know, territory of a big band to play this music, even though funk has, you know, permeated a lot of the contemporary music. But to actually play one of the iconic funk tunes, pretty much in its original shape and form, you know, arranged slightly different for instruments, but we do it pretty much the way it exists on the recording. So for the band, this is, like, really exciting. This is, like, really all... fun, and it's by no means a walk in the park. Technically, it's a very demanding piece on all the players in the band, but it's really just, you know, to play essentially a pop tune, even though it's really as much funk as it is popular music. It was really just a major, you know, shot of adrenaline for the band. So at the end of the concert, after a pretty long concert, a pretty strenuous concert, all the guys were able to, you know, muster up the energy to really give this tune its due.
Yeah, they really cut loose on it. So let's close out the program with Cool and the Gang's Open Sesame, performed by the TCNJ Jazz Ensemble. A big shout out and thank you to TCNJ, to Gary Feinberg, to the TCNJ Jazz Ensemble. This has been just a wonderful program to be able to share with our listeners. And I'm your host, Robert Bullington. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Jazz Discoveries. I'll see you on our next edition. And here it is, Open Sesame by Cool and the Gang.
Open Sesame!